Chapter 3 Tools and More. Drake looked around the entry room. Moss and fungi covered walls and floors, puddles of water filled with small white flowers collected everywhere. Rain in the dome fell as a mist rather than a shower, but the accumulated total could still produce serious water damage in structures with gutted roofs, especially when the river flooded and condensation increased. But the pungent scent of mold and mildew didn't explain the odor behind the odor, that certain black clay reek that reminded Drake of the South Carolina Murrells Inlet marsh walk. He stood still, breathing slowly, as if time could derail the electrical buzzing in his temples. Herein abided change and a sensation of impending consumption that he'd only felt once before when in the black, with only a dimly lighted lamp, on the night Leah faded.
Some house we come across, boy. Might be the day of fading. Maybe that will get me back to Leah.
The Airedale stared with a look of expectation, understanding the inflections, if not the words.
Let's find something we can use.
Drake cranked up his reliable Red Cross clip ray flashlight.
Be on guard.
People always looted the big houses first, but Drake expected that those who'd come before him had looked for food and weapons, not tools pertaining to electrical wiring, starter components, and such. Grayish moisture covered huge sections of the flooring. Fog accumulated in some rooms. A gapping crack ran up one wall and across part of the lower ceiling. This house had taken serious quake damage. Even if Drake stumbled across something usable, rust might be a big problem. Perhaps there was a basement or an outbuilding. Some of the older houses this large had full home backup gens by the circuit box. For a time, the search seemed fruitless, then he got lucky. While probing the depths of a broom closet, he found boxes full of tools, of which one had electrical items, including a roll of black tape, a pack of slip rings, and a small stator assembly, all good signs of an existing home generator. There was also a large metal box with big rusty hinges and a fastened Schlager 6 pin padlock. Pulling a jackknife pick set from his shirt pocket, Drake popped the lock in less than 2 minutes. A new one would have given way much quicker, but why grumble? Opening the box took longer than picking the lock. The rust on the hinges didn't creak without a struggle, but when the lid finally lifted, Drake delighted in seeing that thing he wanted most. Well, at least one of the things he wanted most. No need missing the point. Living in the black taints the acceptable definition of value. Drake also wanted sunshine on his face, a comfy bed, and Leah by his side. Yet even that vision was overwritten by vague images of Copper's wife.
Shut it down, Drake. The past is gone. The present isn't yours to have.
Men, women, and children, he knew, must learn contentment with what they have at hand. After all, the treasure in the box came without rust and moisture, via the efficiency of a watertight seal. Yet the find wasn't comparable to the needs in his mind. He stored the practical treasure in his backpack, then came up short when Doug started barking, slowly at first, and then more impatiently. Something wasn't right. But the small pack of expandable stator retainer mag rings was such a significant find. Perhaps a bit more searching could reap a second treasure. Although worthless toward repairing the main turbines, the rings would expand to fit any of the smaller gens back at the meeting lodge.
At least we have a way to charge the main batteries and keep a few lights burning.
Then Doug ran near to the storage room door and turned outward, barking into the hallway. Drake closed the lid and stood upright, but not before resetting the lock on the box.
At minimum, keep others out.
Drawing the hatchet, he knelt and scratched Doug behind the ear.
Show me what we got, boy.
Encouraged, Doug moved down the hall and stopped before an open door on the left. He growled, but didn't try going through the doorway. Drawing nearer, Drake aimed his clip ray inside and saw stairs leading down into darkness. The rising air stank of black clay, swamp marsh, and blooming corpse flowers, and something else. The stench of sulfur, the warning hell reek that always accompanied breakouts of the invisible flames. Behind it all, or perhaps within it all, lingered a buzzing and an elusive sense of whispering.
What you think, Doug? Do we go on down?